satisfy your celluloid addiction with the Cinema Junkie podcast, where you can mainline film with the people who make them, as well as those who love them, program them, and celebrate them for their cultural impact. Listen to Cinema Junkie wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, Donald Trump has used social media to make bizarre attacks on the Pope. We'll talk about his pattern of mocking Christianity. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. So this week, the president launched a series of bizarre social media attacks against Pope Leo. He called the American-born Pope weak on crime and terrible for foreign policy.
I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of Pope Leo. He's a very liberal person, and he's a man that doesn't believe in stopping crime.
And just to be clear, the Pope is not a sheriff or a police chief or anyone else who works in the law enforcement system. But President Trump also posted an AI image on his Truth Social account depicting himself as Jesus Christ, which he later deleted and claimed he thought it showed him as a doctor. The Pope said, "We will continue to promote peace." And here's what he said to reporters earlier this week.
My message, the message of the gospel, blessed are the peacemakers. I do not look at my role as being political or politician. I don't want to get into a debate with him. I don't think that the message of the gospel is meant to be abused in the way that some people are doing.
Well, many U.S. Catholics are expressing support for those sentiments. In a written statement, San Diego Bishop Michael Pham of the Catholic Diocese of San Diego said, "Throughout history, the papacy has served as a vital voice for peace, justice, and the care of the most vulnerable. Pope Leo's leadership continues in that tradition, offering guidance that transcends politics and speaks to shared human values. May we all join Pope Leo in advocating for world peace," end quote. Now, of course, all of this brings up a lot of questions about the dynamic between religion and politics today. So joining me now to help sort of go through all of those things and answer some questions is Rebecca Bartel. She's a professor of religion at San Diego State University. Professor, welcome back to Midday Edition.
Thanks so much for having me again.
Glad to have you here for this discussion. You know, I want to start with some context here because a lot of people are calling this rift between the U.S. president and the Pope unprecedented. Historically speaking, what does that relationship actually typically look like?
Good question to begin with. Well, there's been a longstanding sort of diplomatic relationship between the Vatican and the United States presidents. The first U.S. president to meet with the Pope was Woodrow Wilson back in 1919 on his tour of Europe post-war recovery effort. And there were some common points of interest between the Pope at the time with Pope Benedict the 15th, not the 16th, who was the more recent, but Benedict. And then again in 1960s, Eisenhower also met with Pope John the 23rd, who was the leader of the Second Vatican Council. And then, of course, John F. Kennedy was the first Catholic president who met then with Pope Paul the 6th. And he was actually the first pope to come and visit the United States in 1965. He met with Lyndon B. Johnson. So since then, the 1960s, every president has met with the Pope, the different popes that have been in the Vatican since then. There has also been moments of tension between popes and presidents. Notably, John Paul II was a critic of the Iraq War and brought that up with then-President George W. Bush. He also criticized Bill Clinton's position on pro-abortion rights. And so there have been moments of tension. And even this president, President Trump, has had moments of tension with the former pope, Pope Francis, who he also criticized of being too political when Pope Francis was commenting on the building of walls and the treatment of migrants and immigrants during the first Trump presidency. So there have been longstanding relationships, but also moments of tension between the Vatican and the U.S. presidency. However, I should mention, there's never really been this kind of open public attack and sort of tit-for-tat kind of conflict with the Pope that we're seeing in this particular moment with Trump, and also other members of the executive. J.D. Vance has shared his opinions on what he thinks the Pope should be saying or doing theologically and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So there's a long-standing relationship, and there have been moments of tension, but this is really a kind of, I would, yeah, the word you used is correct, unprecedented kind of open public attack of the papacy.
Yeah. I thought J.D. Vance's ideas about what the Pope should and shouldn't be talking about, he told him to stick to the moral issues of morality, I think.
Well, I think that's precisely what Pope Leo understands that he is doing. I think the way in which he's speaking, it's not a direct attack on Trump or the U.S. president. It's a response to what is a moral question about the unjustness of the war in Iran specifically. And so speaking in terms of moral authority, he is taking a stance that distinguishes between the authority of moral principles and the authority that this government is trying to impose through force, which are two different sort of ways of understanding power and authority.
Mm-hmm. And in Jesus's teachings, was he understanding that same thing that you just spoke of?
Well, there are a lot of variations and interpretations, theologically speaking, of how Christian morality should work. But it might be worth noting that Pope Leo's 1987 doctoral dissertation was on Augustinian theology around moral authority specifically. So Augustine is also one of the church fathers who comes up with the idea of just war theory and just war theology. And in, Robert Prevost's dissertation, he was clear on articulating that authority comes through service, not through power and impotence. And so when Pope Leo says things like, there is a delusion of omnipotence that's at work here, this is a direct moral critique of the way in which foreign relations are being conducted by this current administration.
And it's not just the war in Iran, is it? I can think of many instances where Christianity has been used to push policy and ideas. I mean, what is your thought on that, the way in which the Trump administration uses Christianity?
Well, I think Pope Leo said it perhaps in the most articulate way, that the gospel is being abused and it's being used as a tool for propaganda and a tool for justification of morally unjust kind of acts. And so in terms of thinking about environmental issues, thinking about immigration issues and the ways in which, for Pope Leo, I think what's important is thinking about how the victims and those who are being hurt by these policies are being affected. That's where the morality stems from, especially as thinking about his authority as the vicar of Christ on earth. In other words, the representative of the gospel on in ways that transcend politics. I think it's important also to note that the sort of limits and boundaries on politics and power that the Pope is articulating. So when these kinds of extreme violations of humanitarian law, international law, there's sort of a dismissal of a moral order, the Pope's responsibility is to call that out and to provide some understanding of what the boundaries of this earthly powers should be.
Right. Well, I mean, Catholics worldwide have really been outraged by this whole saga. And even before this, in March, an NBC poll from that time found that Pope Leo is more popular than Donald Trump. What does the public backlash to all of this say to you?
The public backlash has been clear. And I think we've been seeing it in not just the news, but even some of the more conservative Catholic bishops in the U.S. who have been proponents of a Trump agenda are coming out and saying, for example, Bishop Robert Barron, a prominent conservative who has served on Trump's Religious Liberty Commission, has stated that Trump should apologize for having posted that image, that AI-generated image of him as Jesus Christ. Bishop Joseph Strickland of Texas also has criticized another very conservative Catholic bishop. And so you've got conservative bishops who are speaking out against this conflict and this sort of the kind of vulgar language and imagery and symbolism that's being promoted by not just Trump, but also others in the administration. And it's also not just Catholics that are upset about this, but Protestant Christians. I mean, you really cross a line when you're posting images, no matter how they're generated or who posted it, mm-hmm. representing yourself as a divinity. That crosses a line with Christians across the spectrum, I think.
But this isn't the first time he's done that, though, is it?
True.
What do you think? Why did it take Christians so long to be outraged?
Well, I think there are some Christians who've been outraged since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a sort of justification of this kind of, don't take him serious. Don't take what he says literally, but take him seriously. He doesn't need to be perfect as a human. He's just a human, but like he's been divinely appointed. So there are sort of these logistical, gymnastics that mm-hmm. are happening, I think, or theological gymnastics that are happening to sort of pardon that kind of activity. Something happened here, though, and I think part of it is that the Iran war is generally extremely unpopular throughout the country. And so you've already got Trump at something like 39% approval ratings, I mean, down in the dumps. And so now there's a kind of momentum that I think the critique has somewhere to land, where earlier there were sort of these justifications perhaps being made for policies that there's more of a split on within the Christian electorate. But I should mention, I mean, the Catholic Church is one of the largest in the United States. Mm-hmm. You've got 1 in 5 Americans identify as Catholic. And while the Trump vote captured about 62% of that Catholic vote in the second round of elections, that number has fallen below 50% at this point. So the sort of fallout of this is quite real. And one is in favor of the Iran war.
What do you think this could all mean for the GOP politics moving forward in terms of how they use religion and even weaponize religion?
Great question. They're going to have to be really careful, I think. I think this is going to come to a head in the midterms. And they're already sort of floundering with the Catholic Christian vote. Of course, there's variety within that electorate, but it's sort of split three ways amongst Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, where Catholics sort of sit on the spectrum of the on the electoral spectrum. Within the evangelical circles, I think walking back this kind of imagery that's taken down and there might be some damage control that can be done. We'll have to see what happens in the next few weeks on the way in which this president tries to amend the relationship with not just the Pope, but also other religious leaders who have criticized this kind of disrespect mm-hmm. of religious authority.
Right. And, again, this pattern has been going on for such a long time. What does this say to you about American Christians' fundamental understanding of Christianity and who Jesus is?
Wow. I think we're at a very interesting time of reckoning. I think there's a needing to be a real kind of recognition of the ways in which religion, especially Christianity, is being weaponized, utilized, and as the Pope Leo said, abused. And I think it needs to transcend politics. So it will be very interesting to see how this plays out electorally. But I don't know. I think that there, I can't speak for all American Christians. Mm-hmm. I can say that the vote has all, it's always been an electorally, you know, diverse kind of population. However, as we know, as we talked about last time, the large majority of white evangelicals voted for Trump. And we'll see what this what the fallout of this kind of conflict will actually lend itself to. If you've got people like Tucker Carlson, who is incredibly popular within certain evangelical spheres, yeah, being very outspokenly critical of the way in which Trump is approaching and this entire administration is approaching ideas of Christianity, what that kind of influence will have will remains to be seen. But I think we are in an interesting moment of a reckoning.
Yeah. Well, from politics to the pews, it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes and the conversations that will be had. Mm-hmm. I've been speaking with Rebecca Bartel. She's a professor of religion at San Diego State University. Professor, thank you so much.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
This year's GI Film Festival San Diego takes place May 6th through 8th and is sponsored by Creative Forces Community Engagement Grants, part of the National Endowment for the Arts Creative Forces Initiative in partnership with Mid-America Arts Alliance. Festival details at gifilmfestivalsd.org.